Any of you guys?
I have.
You have? Hey, I think I know you. What about you? You know me? You know me from somewhere, don't you? I think I've seen this guy before. Sorry, I don't know you guys' names. but I often wonder about you guys, how you guys are doing, because your guys' message is usually different from the one that Kevin speaks. And as I was on the retreat, I was kind of wondering, you know, what would help you guys out? And I know that you guys are starting school. And I know, how many of you guys go to public school? So you three go to homeschool? No? Okay, private. Private school too? You as well? Oh, regular school? Okay. And I know it can be hard being a Christian at your school. And just, you know, when people, you know, sometimes they try to make fun of you, like, oh, you're one of those Jesus freaks. But everybody at my work pretty much knows I'm a Jesus freak. I even have a belt buckle that says Jesus freak, so there's no doubt about it. So, but as I was wondering what would help you guys out, I wanted to make you guys aware of the spiritual battle, because a spiritual battle is real. In fact, Paul says that the things that we don't see are eternal. The things that we see are temporary. And there's a real battle going on. Let me just share this story with you guys. I love sharing stories with you guys. this is a story about the Tate family. I mean, how many of you guys have heard of the Tate family? Not the Nate family, the Tate family. None of you guys? Okay, well, every church has a Tate family. I just had to share this with you guys. Okay, the Tate family. There's an old man, Dick Tate. He wants to run everything, while Uncle Rotate tries to change everything. Their sister, Agitate, stirs up plenty of trouble with help from her friend, Irritate. And whenever new projects are suggested, Hesitate and his wife, Vegetate, they want to wait till next year. then there's Aunt Imitate, who always wants our church to be like the others. Devastate provides the voice of doom, while Potentate wants to be the big shot. And, of course, there's the black sheep of the family, Amputate, who has completely cut himself off from the church. just had to share that with you guys. let's open up in prayer. Father God, I thank you for these group of students that have came here this morning, Father. Nothing better than just to sing praises to you early in the morning, Father. Just want to bless you with this time. I just ask that you speak through me, Father, and just may your spirit speak to these students that are here, Father, and just equip them for the battle, Father, and just that you may make them strong children of God, Father, and in your word, and just protect them, and just that they may have the arsenal, Father, the weapon to guard against the evil one. And just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled today's message, Playground or Battleground, which is kind of fitting, since you guys, how many of you guys love to play at the playground? I love to play at the playground. And if you guys haven't already opened your Bibles, you might want to open it to Ephesians 6, which is where you have the armor of God. And I'll kind of wait till you guys get there. And if I kind of skip ahead of you guys, I like to encourage you guys to just, if you hear a scripture or something, on the verses, where there's verses, if I'm on a verse, and I'll just mention a scripture, if you just maybe write it down and check it later. Ephesians 6, it's going to start in verse 10. When you hear the word Christian, the first word that comes to mind is not warrior. Usually when you hear a Christian, you think of gentle and loving and kind, peacemaker, stuff like that. You know, warrior or soldier is not the first thing that comes to mind. And I didn't pre-mark my Bible, so because I wanted to kind of flip with you guys. If you guys keep your Bibles marked in Ephesians 6 and flip with me to 2 Timothy, which is to the right a little ways. See if I can find it here. Yeah, I like the interactive thing. I like to get you guys involved. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, this is Paul talking to Timothy. It says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." And so, and the word soldier there can be translated in the Greek as warrior. So, you know, basically, you know, that's Paul telling Timothy, you know, we're warriors. You know, there's a real battle out there. And chapter 6 of Ephesians, you guys can go ahead and flip back now, places you on the battlefield. And it shows that the Christian life isn't a playground, it's a battlefield. Okay, and there's a guy, his name is Donald Gray Barnhouse. He had written a book. It's called The Invisible War. And in it, it's basically he tells you that, you know, that there's a cosmic conflict for the hearts and minds of human lives. And it's been going on for thousands of years. And, you know, this morning, it's that same battle still wages this morning. Let's see here. How many of you guys have actually asked the Lord into your life? And just, you know, a show of hands here. Cool. Well, when you did that, you entered the arena of the Christian battlefield. Because now that you're God's child, you're God's in God's family, you also inherited his enemy, which is Satan. And so if God loves you, Satan hates you. And he's very real. He's not just the Bible says that Satan is an actual being. Like he's not just some, you know, a covering of something like evil. Is Satan actually exists? Well, see, up to that point that you were saved, you're actually in a cosmic battle, a spiritual battle for your soul. See, Satan, he's in a battle for people's souls because he knows that he's going to hell. He knows he's going there. That's for sure. And he hates you guys so much. He's going to do everything he can to take you with him. And he's going to be laughing at you all the way. Let's see here. And, you know, Satan, you know, even though you've won the battle, your soul is saved because you believe in Jesus Christ. Even though you've won that battle, Satan doesn't give up that easily. He's still going to do what he can to just make you ineffective for the kingdom. Because once you're saved, and you have the love of Christ, and you know that the truth abides in you about this world, basically that this world is just for a moment, that eternity is actually what we're looking forward to. And once you have that, see that the worst thing for Satan is for you to tell other people about it and to bring people to that saving grace that God has for eternal life. Because everybody has eternity, whether it's in hell or whether it's in heaven with God, with Jesus. You know, and, you know, one of the worst, you know, images I can think of is, how many of you guys have friends that aren't saved? Everybody here, I would think. Or know somebody that's not saved. You know, one of the biggest things that God revealed to me was just knowing what I was saved from which was eternal fire, just gnashing of teeth, hell. That's forever, you know, and you can't fathom forever. When you try to think about it, I'm sure we've tried to think about it. You know, it's like in that song, it says, "When once we've been there 10,000 years, we have no less time than when we first began." You know, we can't imagine forever. It's like just forever and ever, you know. And would you want to spend forever in hell or in the presence of God, you know? And knowing that I was saved from eternal separation from God, which is in hell, you know, I look at people that I know that aren't saved, and I see them in that light that, man, if I don't tell them about Jesus and the truth, why he came, that he's real, that he came and died for our sins so that we could have eternal life, you know, I just, you know, that's the worst thing, you know, just to know that you have that truth, you have the key, you have the answer, the antidote to somebody's eternity, and you don't say nothing about it, you know, that's pretty crazy, you know. And I struggle with myself, you know. Sometimes I know that I should tell somebody about it, and I don't, which, you know, is not a good thing. And I totally feel convicted afterwards. I'm like, man, I should have just said something, you know. But, and you know, that's the thing, is that the God, that Satan, he wants to make you ineffective. He doesn't want you to share that love with other people, because he wants to see them go to the same place that he does. Have you guys ever heard Misery Loves Company? Well, he wants to take as many people down with him as he wants, and he'll do whatever he can to do that. Like I said, he'll do everything he can to make you doubt and just to trip you up in that area. The Christian's warfare, or the battle of the believer. At the end of Paul's life, Paul actually stated, he said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race." You know, Paul knew that the spiritual battle was very real. And like right now, I mean, the things that we can't see are eternal, you know, and we'll go into a little bit more here in just a moment. But right now, you know, there's probably demons in here, you know, just that we can't see. There's demons everywhere, you know. It says that Satan walks about like a roaring lion, you know, seeking whom he may devour. You know, there's a ton of scriptures that tell of this. And, you know, even Jesus mentioned this when he said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The gates prevailing was an idea of an army attacking a city with a battering ram, a huge log attached to a pulley that just battered in a hole. And the thing was, is that it'd break it down so that they could go in the city and take over it. And destroy it, and that's that's basically what Satan does. He wants to destroy everything that you have, you know, the love of Christ. In verse 10, let's go ahead and let's see. I got to turn back here now. In Ephesians, let's see, Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11. We're introduced to who our enemy is. Let's go ahead and read. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Which is the first thing that you want to know in a battle? That's who you're fighting, right? You don't want to be like, "Oh, I'm going to take him on," and then all of a sudden this big, huge guy walks out, and you're like, "Oh no!" You know, you want to know definitely who you're coming up against. That way, you can prepare yourself. And that's actually a military intelligence thing, is gathering who the enemy is, what the enemy is like, what his strategy is, You don't want to just launch into a battle and just, you know, start swinging, you know. You want to go at it intelligently, you know, with a game plan and know who you're fighting, who you're coming up against. In verse 12, we're told that the devil has a lot of helpers. Let's see here. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So right there, it states that, you know, Satan has a lot of helpers. He has demons, principalities, powers in heavenly places. You know, in we'll go ahead and get into that here in just a second. But see, not everybody believes in a literal devil. Some people might feel sorry for you or think that you're dumb or you're naive or simple-minded because you believe that there's a literal devil. There's actually a Gallup poll. It says 70% of Americans believe in the devil. Okay. But half of them who believe in the devil believe it's just a principle, a symbol of evil. And the other half believe in a literal devil. And actually the idea of a devil is made fun of in like some songs and comedy skits and stuff like that. I don't know if you guys heard of that song, Devil with a Blue Dress On, or Red Dress, one of those. You guys probably a little bit too young to hear that, but know that. But if you guys, I might have to question if you guys heard that song. But and that, you know, I mean, it's the devil is made fun of in one of I don't know if you guys watched Saturday Night Live. There's a guy on there that's called a church lady. You know, he's like, you know, did the devil do it? You know, and it's just like made fun of. You know, but there is actually a literal devil, and Jesus knew that the devil was a real being. If you guys want to write down or turn to Luke chapter 10. It was Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Let's see here. In Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Well, let's start at 17. It says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And actually what happened here was the disciples had been casting out demons, and they were just like so excited that they were able to cast out these demons. And then in verse 18, Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. See, Jesus was there when this happened. Jesus saw Satan fall. It says like lightning from heaven. And also in Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Jesus spoke of Satan being as a personal being. And here in chapter 22, verse 31, Jesus tells Peter, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. I don't know about you guys, but if Jesus told me that Satan had been asking for you, and I'd be like, what did you tell him? You know, and Jesus is like, I prayed for you, you know. I'd be tripping out, basically. Those are some pretty heavy words. And, you know, so Jesus talks of him as being a personal being. So he's real. He's not just some entity of evil. And so that the Bible reveals that there is a power, a superpower, which is Satan, that fell from heaven. His name was Lucifer and became known as the devil, which means accuser or slander. Of course, he goes by many names, father of lies. There's so many names that he goes by. Basically, he's the enemy of God and the enemy of your soul. And he's real and he's personal. Dwight L. Moody has a lot of really good stuff. He actually puts it this way. He says, I believe in the devil for two reasons. One, because the Bible declares it to be so. And two, because I've done business with him. And if any of you guys have ever done business with the devil in any way, you guys know that he's real. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I know he's done all three to my life. And you guys are still kind of young now. But as you guys get older, you guys will see. You know, I mean, basically, we as Christians, we're not exempt. You know, Jesus tells us that we will have tribulation. And actually, if you don't, if you're not getting that friction there, if things aren't going on with you, then I would ask you guys to examine your walk. Because if you're God's child, friend of God, then you're Satan's enemy. And so he's going to be doing what he can to come at you. And so if there isn't any friction going on there, you guys maybe want to examine yourselves. And just know, too, that whenever things are happening in your life, you know, that come at you and you're just, like, discouraged or just, like, just want to throw your hands up and say, forget it, you know, I'm just want to give up or whatever. Know that you're getting attacked. And praise God for it, because you know that you're a friend. You know that you're his friend and you're Satan's enemy, you know. excuse me. And let's see here. And I'll tell you, it does. It makes me happy to know that I'm Satan's enemy. And you might be like, oh, really? Are you an idiot or what? It's like, but no. I'm thinking very clearly. Charles Spurgeon said, it's comforting to know that Satan is my adversary. I would rather have him as my adversary than my friend. At one time, I was on his team. He was my boss, and he pays good wages. The wages of sin is death, but I quit before payday. And so, you know, that's like you guys, you know. And the thing that sets you guys apart is that none of us are perfect. We're all going to fall. We all struggle with sin. It's our human nature. But Jesus came so that we could have forgiveness of our sins, because he knows that we're going to fail. And when time, and especially like Satan, he's the type of person that'll say, here, and he'll tempt you with something. And he'll, and you'll just be thinking, man, that looks so good. If I just do it once, you know, it won't hurt anything. Or, you know, just this one time, or just a look, or whatever. And once you give into that temptation and you sin, he's the first one right there pointing at you and accusing you and making you just feel like crap. And that's what Satan does. He's the accuser. He's the accuser of the brethren. And, you know, it's, well, let's go like this. By the grace of God, the free gift of God, Scripture says, is eternal life. As a Christian, Satan fights. He fights against us. You know, he's our enemy. And because of the battle, of this battle, the spiritual battle that we have against our enemy, we need the right armor and weapons to be ready for his attacks. In verse 12, let's see here, of Ephesians. In verse 12 of Ephesians, chapter 6, he says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The word wrestle suggests a struggle, a fight, a war. And Satan has helpers, and they're well organized. I would imagine that he has them just strategically, like an army. Dispatching here and there, you know. And, you know, have you even heard it said that you have, you know, you could even imagine it as you have certain demons assigned just to your case. You know, just watching everything you do, knowing, you know, throwing stuff at you, fiery darts, thoughts that you can, you're just like, whoa, where did that come from, you know? You know, you're getting attacked. It's a fiery dart. It's because the heart is referred to in the Bible as your mind, you know, your thought life. I'm sure Satan is frying some bigger fish, like, you know, world leaders, church leaders, you know, like especially now in Iraq and Israel, what's going on there. That's some serious spiritual warfare going on there with leaders and stuff. He probably doesn't take it, he doesn't personalize with you. I mean, because you guys aren't really a threat to him. So he probably has demons assigned to you guys, just specifically to your case. And the book, I don't know if you guys, have you guys ever heard of the book Screwtape, the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis? If you guys haven't ever heard of that, maybe you guys want to write it down. It's Screwtape Letters. It's by C.S. Lewis. It's really amazing. It's basically, it's a book on the strategies of the devil from Satan's perspective in training young demons or tempters to do his bidding. And he puts it in a perspective from their point of view, like, oh, we're going to go and do this. I mean, I can't do it any justice if I try to explain it to you guys. It's a really good book. If you guys love books, it's way amazing. I know a lot of times you're like, oh, a book. but it really is. It's a really neat book. And so basically, I've got good news and I've got bad news. Bad news is that there's not just one or two or a couple hundred or 300 demons. The Bible says that one third of the original angels fell with Satan. But the good news is that there's still two thirds left. and know that Satan is totally outnumbered. Don't focus on Satan and his demons. Focus on how they're outnumbered. Because with God, all things are possible. Greater is he that is in you that is in the world. And, you know, Satan would just love for you to focus on him and just be terrified. The Bible also says that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. You know, and ask God for these things, you know. I pray, you know, and we'll pray here in a little while. I pray that when you get up in the morning, you want to see God moving in your life. Ask him for spiritual eyes, just to see things spiritually, you know. It's so amazing when you're aware of what is around you, that there's a spiritual battle going on for your soul and for your friends and your family, for their souls, for eternity, you know. And he's going to throw darts at you, doubt, confusion. He's going to do everything that he can to hinder you from telling other people, even to make your walk ineffective, just to water it down. So that maybe, you know, you might, it's so easy just to come to church because our parents, you know, bring us. And they're like, oh, okay, church again. All right, this is cool. Worship, all right, I really like worship. But, you know, just when is this over? You know, it's so easy just to get caught up in just the monotony, just the, you know, the ritual of coming to church. But, you know, pray to God. Pray that he'll give you those spiritual eyes just so that you can see things spiritually. Know that there are spiritual hosts, demons working every day in people's minds, in their thoughts and their actions. You know, I've heard it said, don't hate the person, hate the sin. You know, hate what's the sin that has that person bound. You know, pray for that person. Because, you know, people that come against you, don't hate them. Hate the enemy, because he's the one doing that. And so don't live a defeated life because you're focused on the devil, but just enjoy the battle. You know, dispatch angels, you know, dispatch these angels who are for you in the name of Jesus, you know. You guys have so much power with you guys because your Father in heaven, Jesus. I mean, you guys have the power to just dispatch angels and just to do things, you know. And it's so amazing. And you guys have that power that God has given you through his Holy Spirit, you know. And you guys need to know about it so you guys can use it. It's a weapon, you know. And let me, we're almost out of time here. In 2 Kings, let's see here. This is one of my most favorite stories. Just, it's so amazing. It's totally the way that, it's what, if any you guys take anything with you guys, I want you guys to take this with you. 2 Kings 6, 14 through 17. Basically, it's the Syrian army making war against Israel. And it's so amazing because basically Elisha's servant is freaking out because they're seeing all these, this whole army come against them. And he goes and he's like, oh man, he's freaking out. He's like, there's so many of this army against us. Okay, let me read it real quick. It's 14 through 17. It says, therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? He's like, right now, he's freaking out. He's like, what are we going to do? You know? And so he answered, and he says, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And right here, it says, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You know, and that's, I kind of get, you know, shaken up about it, you know, because I know that that's who we have for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, just because we can't see them, they're there, and they're protecting you guys. They're there, you know, they're there for you. Satan has no victory at all in your lives. Just be aware that there's a battle going on, you know, and at your schools, people that come against you, pray, because prayer is so powerful. Things happen in heaven when people pray on earth, and you guys use that weapon. Prayer is an amazing weapon. It's like Satan wants to disarm you of that weapon. And I don't know if you guys have ever noticed when you pray, you just start getting like thoughts in your mind. And you're like, where did that come from? You know, those are fiery darts, you know. And it says also in 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says to take into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay? So just be aware of that. And always ask God for spiritual eyes to see things spiritually. Let's pray. Father, just thank you so much for your word and just everything that you have given us to equip us, Father, to battle against the enemy, Father. For know that he is real and he is personal, Father, and that his demons are around us every day, Father. Help us to be aware of that. Help us to be bold, Father, as the end of Ephesians 6 says, to be bold that they may speak the words of Christ, Father, his gospel, his message, Father, that your Holy Spirit will do that, Father. Just ask you to lead these students, Father, guide them into all truth, Father, protect them, bless them and their families, Father, and just prosper them in everything that they do. In Jesus' name, amen.